Hello and welcome to this week's Comic Roast. I'm your host, Scott, and you can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. I'm here with Brian, you can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. And we will hopefully be joined soon here by Chris, who you can find on Twitter at SkateXEdge. Damian could not be with us this week, but you can find him on Twitter at Damian Johnston. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thecomicroast or facebook.com/reviewandroast. Or you can find us on Instagram at instagram.com/reviewandroast/thecomicroast/StarWarsTabletop/Slevin77. And if any of you cool cats are hip up to the new Mastodon social networking site, you can find me on there at Slevin. And let's see. Boom. Our number one for today is Spencer and Locke on Action Lab Comics. And our over-under, seeing as though C2E2 was this past weekend, is going to be C2E2. So this is gonna be some fun because we missed a week and now just two of us holding down the fort. So
transmitter circles the globe in search of a listener. Can you hear me now?
Personally, I spent a lot of time in the last, 2 weeks, because we were off last week for Easter, going through and trying to catch up on a lot of my single issues, which I feel I read a decent amount. And I also picked up two more short boxes so I can start sifting through, and then I also put a bunch more comics on Amazon. So, I mean, I do sell my comics on Amazon when I am done with them, but yeah, I feel like I made some pretty decent progress with shuffling around my comics, I guess, deciding what to keep, deciding what to sell, deciding what to read and or not read. Other than that, I watched Rogue One. Way better than it was in the theater. Not that I hated it in the theater, but I kind of figured it'd be better the second time around, and guess what? It totally was.
I believe it. I still have to see it again.
Yeah, you do.
Let's see. It's been 2 weeks now.
And I got a new modem.
Yay. I bought this game for my nephew like 2 months ago. I try to teach my nephews board and card games sometimes with random success. Sometimes I score big. Sometimes I fail miserably. A few months ago, we played a couple games of Sushi Go, and inside all the Game Right games, a little catalog, my nephew wanted to look through it. He found a game called Super Tooth about dinosaurs, and he had to have it. So I went out and bought it. And then over the past couple months, he has seemed to lost all interest in any sort of gaming whatsoever. So I was like, fuck, man, I bought this game for him, and he's not going to like it. Well, it turns out he actually was excited when he got it, and we played it. And that was pretty cool, because I'm hoping he starts to get back into that again, because the wrestling thing is getting a little out of control.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't say, like, out of control, because, I mean, I grew up on wrestling, too, and I still have a soft spot for it, but the way my nephews are into wrestling is super annoying. I won't go into detail. I just think, I wish they were into the actual sport of wrestling instead of the theme songs, because the songs are terrible.
And they only listen to about 15 seconds before they either restart it or find a new song.
Yeah, and this kind of segues into my next thing is, for some weird reason, I've been on this wicked Lord of the Rings kick lately, and kind of started because I was kind of looking around for a movie to watch a few weeks ago. I'm like, man, I want to see The Hobbit, but I want to see all three of them again, because the first one's okay, but the second and third one, to me, are both fantastic, and I don't have, well, I didn't until recently, but I also had this gift card with a lot of money on it, so I was just browsing Best Buy last weekend, and I saw the super fancy extended edition box set of the first three Lord of the Rings movies, and it was like $100. I'm like, I could afford it with this gift card. I just don't want to. So I'm like, they price match. Let's see if I can get them down a minute. So I did. I got them down to $60, which was awesome. That's just why I bought it. But then I started watching The Two Towers, and they walked in, and they right away were like, we want wrestling. And I was like, oh, jeez, with the wrestling. You guys are missing one of the greatest movies ever made.
But it's also the second.
Right. I I have always loved the Two Towers more than the other two.
Well, I'm not saying, but I mean, if they're going to get him into it, you got to start at the beginning.
Well, that's the thing. They're not going to sit down and watch a 4-hour movie.
They're not going to sit down and watch a 4-minute movie.
No, they're not.
Like, what was that movie we watched with Booberry murdering that girl for like 20 seconds?
I remember it. I don't remember the title.
That Scary movie Bear or something?
Scary Barry.
Yeah, Barry Scary or something.
Barry Scary. That's what it was.
That was so dumb.
But yeah, anyway, like, so I went out Sunday and I bought the second Hobbit movie, The Desolation of Smaug, because I kept telling myself, of all the things that happen in all of the 6 Lord of the Rings movies, Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit trilogies, the last 40 minutes of Desolation of Smaug are probably my favorite of everything. But I'm like, maybe I have built it up in my head because I loved it so much in the theater, maybe it's not that good. So I decided, since I didn't have time to watch the 3-hour movie Sunday night, I was going to watch the last 45 minutes, and guess what? Yeah, that's my favorite part ever. I watched it like 3 times already. I have yet to watch the whole movie, but every time I just go right to Smaug and I watch the rest, and when he flies over Lake Town and does, "I am death," I'm like, fuck, I love this part. It's the best.
Dumb question, and I'm not trying to like bust your chops or whatever while, you know, in front of millions of people here, but millions. Have you ever read the book?
No, I have not.
You really should.
I want to.
I've read it twice.
I
have it down there, fancy, nice hardcover. You can borrow it.
I want to own it.
I'm just saying, you need to get on it.
No, I know.
It's definitely in my top 5 favorite books.
I unfortunately have to finish the millions of books I currently have.
So do I. And I'm currently...
I'm trying to be on a book buying hiatus.
If anyone remembers, a few weeks ago, I mentioned to Damien that I finally started Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And I would like to report that it is still super slow going and I am being so lazy. But in my defense, I did read a lot of comic books instead. So, yay me?
I've been slacking on comics. I started reading this book called Hand to Mouth.
Of the Leg.
No, it's... The author's name is Linda Tirado. She's from Utah. She wrote a really good piece. It was either on Salon or the Daily Beast like 2 weeks ago, explaining what being a Southern voter is like compared to what people from outside in the big cities think of Southern voters. And she was basically trying to explain the reason why. She was trying to explain the difference between the perception and the reality of why people in the South vote against their own interests. It was a really good piece. And I was like, man, that girl's a really good writer. I got to find more of her stuff. It led me to her website, which led me to her book. And I'm like, I'm going to order that book today when I get home. So I did. And I got it. And it's good. It's a little repetitive at times because a lot of it's just like, this is what life is like on food stamps. Because that's the whole thing. She got noticed because she was one of those people who was on, you know, some kind of food stamps, and she worked 2 jobs. She got home from work on a super long day. She worked 2 full-time shifts at her job. She came home, got on the internet, saw some post, and she decided to retort because it was one of those pull yourself up by your bootstraps posts. So she wrote this lengthy post called Why Poor People Make Bad Decisions, and it went super duper viral, and that's how she got the book deal. So she's a really good writer. I just don't think the book... I think it conveys all the concepts well. I just think sometimes a lot of the ideas overlap. But as an essayist, she's really talented. So if you find anything by Linda Tirado, I suggest seeking it out. Because she does give you a good like window into the world of what it's like to struggle paycheck to paycheck.
Oh, I know the struggle.
She really kind of... Well, I mean, not anymore. Now she's like... touring the world, giving talks and stuff.
Yeah, because she finally stopped being lazy and pulled herself up by her bootstraps.
She did.
Or by her pen straps.
Yes. Very much so. But I figure if it's got Matt Taibbi's recommendation, it's got to be worth reading.
Didn't he kind of flake out on you a while back?
No.
Who was I thinking of then?
I don't know.
I don't know. I think there was somebody that used to be awesome that recently did something. Yes. Wasn't it Jan?
Jan.
Irving? Didn't he get weird?
He's always been weird.
Almost Alex Jones weird.
Oh, he's always been Alex Jones weird.
I mean, like, you know what I mean.
No, nobody could be Alex Jones weird. The best thing about Alex Jones is that guy, he's being taken to court by his wife because she's trying to get custody of their kids because she says he's a horrible influence and she says he's psychotic.
So he's not saying all that just for views. He actually believes it now?
What?
All of his rhetoric?
He always has.
Oh, my God. I thought it was just like a gimmick.
No. But the best part is his lawyer and the lawyer's retort was Alex Jones, the man, is different from Alex Jones, the character. They go, Alex Jones, the father, is the real man. Alex Jones on InfoWars is like the Joker in the Batman movies.
They said that for a defense.
His lawyer said that. So now there's been a whole big thing all week long saying, oh, so Alex Jones admitted he's fake news. So then he went on yesterday and went on this gigantic screaming thing about how he's not fake news and her trying to twist his words around. And the whole time he's yelling and screaming, I'm sitting there like, it's not your words. It's your lawyer's words. Your lawyer said this. So either you and your lawyer don't communicate well, or you're trying to dig yourself out of a hole.
See, these are the kind of things that I need to know right away so that I can quickly Photoshop the Joker makeup on there before somebody else does.
You don't have to, because he put Joker makeup on and did a whole broadcast once.
Oh, my goodness.
He played clips from it on his thing last, because I was like, I have to see this retort from him. And he played video clips of himself dressed like the Joker. He played video clips of himself wearing a lizard mask. It was super great.
That's what I get for not going on Reddit for the last couple of days.
Oh, it's been all over the news. I can't. Well, you don't read the news.
I just listen to NPR in the morning.
I just listen to NPR.
And I got the New Yorker laying around here, but I'm a week behind.
Nobody cares about that.
I know. I'm all hoity-toity now. What else did I do? I don't know. I don't know what else I did. I did stuff, and I can't really remember, so...
I watched Quarry.
I don't know what that is.
It's that show on Cinemax that rules.
Oh, that show on Cinemax, that channel I don't have, so it's a show I never heard of? Yeah, that show. Great.
Yeah, well, get on it.
I'm currently trying to finish Iron Fist so that Mike and I can podcast that soon. It's still recent enough, I'd say, to where we can pull that off. And I don't understand, like, before I watched the show, I did see a lot of things online where people, like, complain about the fight scenes. I don't really know what people are complaining about. Like, I kind of am really kind of digging this show. And it is kind of funny now that, what's the nurse's name?
Night Nurse, or...
No,
Claire.
Claire, yes. Now that Claire has shown up in Iron Fist, like every time something sort of major happens, she goes, "Sweet Christmas." It's like, all right, it was funny the first time, but you said it like 8 fucking times already. But whatever, that's a whole nother.
Well, I think a lot of people misunderstand the show because the whole quote unquote whitewashing thing, which I get under normal circumstances, but the character of Iron Fist is who he is. So changing it, it's kind of a lose-lose situation. If you make the character a white billionaire, people are going to say you're whitewashing the character. If you don't, people are going to say, oh, you're upsetting the comic book fans. There's just really no way to win that thing, which sucks. Because
so if they're doing it based on the comic and that's what it is in the comic, how is that whitewashing?
Because people who don't read comics just see what they see and they don't really know the backstory, the history, the the lore, so to speak. I was, at this point, I'm just like, I feel like now I can go sit down and watch Iron Fist because all of the hubbub is kind of settled. Everybody's, all the critics and the people that don't really know anything have said their whole thing about this show sucks, and they all like pretty much have moved on. And slowly but surely, people are watching and go, no, actually, it's not that bad. It's pretty good.
See, here's the thing. What makes these shows great is how they're all sort of intertwined and you know it's going to lead to something bigger, but the simple fact that Claire shows up on every show, the old lady who kind of runs the hand who showed up in Daredevil, she's a big part of Iron Fist. You know, it's neat to start seeing all these characters kind of interact together and they keep talking about each other. And
that's why I said, like,
and I'm not gonna lie, not to cut you off, but the casting of this show is next to brilliant. Like,
see, now that's the thing. A lot of the critics said the casting has been some of the worst they've ever seen. Again, which I think people, they went right in with two thoughts. A, we have the whitewashing thing to hold on to, and B, we're looking for any excuse we can find to finally trash one of these Marvel shows, and any little foot in the door we can get, we're going to just run with it. And I think that's kind of what happened. And between that, my own personal laziness, and I was in the middle of something else, I felt like, nah, I'll sit on Iron Fist for a month, and then I'll come to it when it's kind of like fizzled out. So I feel like now I can effectively do Iron Fist without any distractions. So that'll
I mean, I guess, you know, whatever. Everyone knows who Claire Temple is. It's Rosario Dawson, obviously. She's a fantastic actress, whatever. But the two people who Danny Rand supposedly grew up with, this Joy Meacham and Ward Meacham. Joy Meacham, you know, she fits the role about as well as you're gonna. But the guy who plays Ward Meacham is, at first I was like, I don't know about this guy. But like, as I'm like pretty much done with the series, I'm like, dude, they could not. I don't know who this guy is, but they could not have cast it better.
I want to say he's from like a Game of Thrones or something.
He might be, but he was awesome. And the guy who plays the father, Harold Meacham. Also, like, wow. I don't know, whatever. I couldn't. There's not a person on this show that I'm like, they're not pulling it off. Like, they're all pretty much killing it, which I think is great. But, you know, hey, I'm easy to please, so.
We'll see. There's a lot of stuff to watch. That's what I was just talking about, because next, also, Preacher is, like, moving up my list now, because I bought the Blu-ray, like, a week ago. Because I finally decided I want to sit down and watch it. And then Fargo started last night.
Oh, my God.
So I got to do that, too.
Yeah, it sucks because I've been seeing, like, little ads for that shit online. And it's like, I can't watch it because I don't have FX. So I'm kind of, like, screwed.
I'm hoping it's on Hulu. Otherwise, I got to wait for the Blu-ray.
If it's going to be on Hulu, I'll just steal Jeff's account and do it. And now I know why I couldn't. And this, I'm going to. Oh, my God. What an idiot. I couldn't place the father, Harold Meacham, who is played by David Wenham. And now that I'm looking, he was in 300, and he was in Lord of the Rings, Two Towers. He was in the Fellowship of the Ring. So, he's been in a lot of movies that I love. So that's why he looks so familiar. I'm like, why do I know this guy? He looks like this guy, but that's not who it is. Well, whatever. Moving on. We've been at this for a good 20 minutes or so now. So... I'm going to let Brian kind of introduce the number one because I feel like it. And I don't have
the details, so you'll have to read them.
Well, the details are, it is Spencer and Locke on Action Lab Comics. It was written by, pardon my pronunciations here, but David Pepoz, artist George Santiago Jr., colorist Jason Smith, letterer Colin Bell. And it's the twisted nostalgia of Spencer Locke comes to comic shops, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I thought that was going to be like a little synopsis. But okay, a hard-boiled detective, a brutal murder, and a six-foot-tall imaginary panther. Spencer and Locke doing stores and digital, blah, 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 blah. Okay, whatever. I'm just falling apart here. So, Brian, go.
Yeah, big time falling apart. All right, so again, kind of rope this back in from where we were a few weeks ago. The writer of this wrote to me on Twitter and said, hey, saw that you guys do a podcast and was wondering if you'd be interested in reviewing the first issue of my new book. I said, certainly. And we exchanged information. Yes. And thus we have Spencer and Locke on Action Lab. Action Lab is a company I'm aware of. I've seen a lot of their books in the store that I frequent. But I think I've only... They seemed up to this point to do a lot of kind, and maybe I'm way off base, but a lot of kind of horror books and a lot of zombies and a lot of kind of more violent superheroes, which I feel like probably not giving them a chance, but I just kind of fallen out on those genres as a whole, so I need to be kind of lured in with a little bit more detail than just the cover. But anyway... This is neither of those. This is a noir detective book, which, you know, right away gets my antennas up. It's about a detective named Spencer and his six-foot partner, Blue Panther, named Locke. And it's not quite what it seems like, but it's your typical-ish Mike Hammer meets Law & Order type of setup. It starts out where he has occasional flashbacks to his childhood and various happenings involving the Panther, involving bullies, involving friends, so on and so forth. And the murder case that he's getting ready to investigate, which he comes to find out shortly afterwards, or shortly after showing up in the crime scene, that it's the girl he had a crush on as a kid. And he keeps making reference to, you know, I left this town, I didn't ever want to come home, and I guess now I'm being... He's doing the whole Godfather, you know, just when I thought I was out, they pull me right back in sort of thing. Why are you laughing?
No, I just kind of figured you were going to go there.
Super easy.
I know.
Anyway, it's basically a murder mystery done in the, you know, noir style, except his partner is the Blue Panther, obviously, but not really. I won't give away the whole thing, but they're investigating the murder of a girl he had a crush on, and there are other people from his childhood that are involved in some form or other. I don't want to give away any more detail than that.
I think you can, because it's like right there on the page.
What do you mean?
I mean, I can read it directly from the website here, but it's basically the tagline here is, what if Calvin and Hobbes grew up in Sin City?
That, well, all right. That's where I was going, but I didn't want to give away any more details of the story, like who's involved and what on. But yeah, it does. It has a very much, I don't want to say Sin City vibe, because it's not quite as...
I didn't think Sin City at all. That's just what the tagline there said.
I kept thinking more along the lines of Law and Order for some reason. Not quite Criminal, not quite, you know, Sleeper or Ed Brubaker noir, but it was, you know, it had its noir ingredients. But yeah, it definitely had a Calvin and Hobbes vibe. It definitely had a bit of a Peanuts vibe to me as well, with the whole crush on the girl who is now the victim of the murder.
There was a lot of that in Peanuts? I don't remember. Maybe I missed that.
No, the flashback sequences.
Right.
Where I forget what it was. They were playing Frisbee or whatever, and she kissed him, or I'll show you, and then she ended up kissing him instead of... It kind of gave me the Charlie Brown and Lucy vibe.
I wish I had it in front of me. Yeah, I have to say, I do kind of like the... For me, it was almost like a Calvin and Hobbes buddy cop for adults, which was kind of hilarious. The flashbacks, see, now the flashbacks you're talking about, I don't remember that much, but the flashback that I do recall are the ones where, like, his mom was beating the shit out of him, or, you know.
Remember that.
It was the very first page, you know what I mean? My only issue was, and I seem to be the only one that had it, but I had an entire page with no dialogue. I mean, it had the word bubbles and stuff, and maybe my computer is just dumb, but Brian said he got the whole thing, and I'm assuming, Chris, you got the whole thing. Oh, by the way, Chris is with us now. Yay! So you got the whole thing, right?
Got what whole thing?
The whole comic.
Yeah.
Yeah, for some reason, I just one page had no dialogue. It was just word bubbles with no words, so I kind of missed out. But from everything I'd gathered, I still really, I thought it was kind of funny. I really enjoyed it. It's only a 4-issue little series, so there's no reason not to keep going on this one, as far as I'm concerned.
It's only 4 issues?
That's what I just read on the site here.
Oh, then
I could be wrong, but we're going to talk to the writer this weekend, so supposedly.
At C2E2?
That correct. Is the plan.
I'm going to work on 2 interviews, see if we can get them, since they'll be there.
I was actually thinking, not to like completely sidetrack from the number one here, but I was thinking about bringing a copy of Descender to try and get a signature, but I figured a line would be so crazy I'll waste my whole day there. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, dude. I'm going to bring like my Black Hammer and...
That's a great idea. Okay, I'm going to bring mine, and I'm just going to give it to you, and you can get it signed for me. Because I'm not going to wait in line and spend $30 to meet the guy, because I'm assuming that's the
case. Is that how much it is?
I don't know. I'm just tossing out numbers. But anywho,
Matt Rosenberg's going to be there too, so...
There's going to be a lot of... I wish I can remember off the top of my head, but let's wrap up this number one. Any final thoughts from anybody?
The Blackhawks better win tonight. That's all I got to say.
That's from what I understand. If they don't, they're pretty much screwed. So, I mean, yeah, go Hawks.
Not pretty much screwed. They are screwed. They're done.
Not if everybody loses.
If they lose tonight, they're done. That's it. No more. They're out.
I can make some calls, and I'll get them back. It's fine. So, adult version of Calvin Hobbes, buddy cop, go. What do we got? Spencer and Locke.
Well, to expound a little bit more, because
I know you were trying to dodge the whole Calvin and Hobbes like thing, but
no, I wasn't. I was trying to dodge giving away more actual details of the story itself, like who was involved and where it took place and that sort of thing.
Oh well, it's just a lot of it's all intertwined with his childhood. That's all right. You know, just say that.
I like the fact that it's like a noirish cop story, and it looks kind of deceptively like it could be leaning towards like kids, but my takeaway was that Spencer was actually insane, or is actually insane, and I don't mean like insane like in a wacky way. I mean like clinically insane, which made me like him even more because he's doing the whole Mike Hammer, like smoking a cigarette and being like, it's a long, cold night out here, and it's going to get longer. Like that sort of thing. But then he's also fucking psycho, which I'm like, oh, man, I don't know how it's going to play out. But I definitely want to find out, especially if it's 4 issues. Oh, my God, are you kidding me? I'm definitely staying on board with this thing.
Yeah.
I had some expectations because like the minute you say noir, instantly I go, all right, I'm curious, but this was really well drawn. The differences between the flashbacks, the type of flashbacks, and the actual art itself.
Night and day.
The art itself kind of had a little... I don't want to make any comparison, so I won't. It was cartoony, but not in a bad way. It was done... This is just... To me, this was a... I always get like nervous about reviewing these kind of books, because I'm like, man, I don't want to dislike it, but I don't want to like gush over it unnecessarily either, but... I read this on my phone, and like halfway through, I'm like, I'm buying this. It doesn't fucking matter how this issue ends. I'm getting this. I really like it. And especially now you say 4 issues, I'm like, it's almost a win-win no matter what. Even if you lose, you win. If you win, you win. If you lose, you win. Either way, I liked it. So there you go. The artwork is great. The writing is really good. And like the tonal shifts feel fluid. They don't feel forced. It just worked. It worked. I feel like there's a Ed Brubaker influence, but not really, because it doesn't feel like an Ed Brubaker story. Just feel like Ed Brubaker kind of, I don't know, sprinkle a little dandruff on the story a little bit.
Sweet. You have anything to add there, Chris, before we throw some numbers at this?
No, I'm good.
All right. Now, this is going off the simple fact that for some reason... My computer was dumb and skipped out on a page for me. But from what I gathered, I still really enjoyed this. I'm going to have no problems going forward. I will give this an 8 all day long.
Like I said, halfway through, I was sold as far as getting this in a trade form or single issues. I think single issues is pretty easy to come down on now that it's like a short run. 8.5 for me. Pretty easily.
Christopher.
Same thing. I'll give it an 8.
Yeah, it was all around entertaining. So if you, especially if you were, I can imagine if you were a fan of Calvin and Hobbes as a kid.
Give it a lower number since it was my pick. But.
Womp womp. So there you have it. Spencer and Locke. Action Lab. Check
not
it out.
My pick.
Right, not Chris's pick. Brian's. It was requested by the writer, actually. So we'll,
obviously he takes precedence
over you all
do.
Day, yeah. And we're going to tell him that on Saturday. When we meet him on Saturday, we're going to tell him too.
You could totally stop crying about it now.
Yeah, that'd be great.
You could totally like lick my butt.
Hashtag nailed it. Hashtag what?
There you go.
So
hashtag
yeah,
lick butt.
Right. Let's see if we can get that going on the Twittens. All right, so we're actually recording this on Thursday, so we actually haven't gone to C2E2 yet, but we've been there plenty of times in the past. So based on our expectations, we're going to now run down what we think is overrated and underrated about C2E2, which is by far the best Comic-Con in the Chicagoland area, i.e. Wizard World is terrible, and if you're going to one, it should have been C2E2, and if you didn't go, you messed up. So, overrated for C2E2 for me
is Wizard World.
is Wizard World sucks. And I know this sounds dumb, but And this isn't all celebrities, but some of the celebrities. Like, I understand having the comic writers and the artists, and I understand having, like, Patrick Stewart and having all, like, the Walking Dead people. Like, I understand that kind of stuff. But a few years ago, they had, I don't know, they always just have ridiculous celebrities that have nothing to do with anything sometimes, and it just drives me nuts. And I don't want to see C2E2 go the same route as Wizard World, where now comics have taken such a backseat at Wizard World, and its main focus is the celebrities. Like, Wizard World a few years ago, for crying out loud, had Mayor Rod Blagojevich.
That was actually pretty awesome.
And they had, what's his face from the Jersey Shore? Dick Nuts? What's his name?
That guy?
Oh, fuckface.
That guy is being investigated
for... The guy with the tan and the greasy hair.
Yeah, and why? Why is he here?
He's being investigated for, like, tax evasion right now.
Yeah, he's an idiot. He shouldn't have been there. But my point is, I understand a lot of the celebrities there. I just hope they don't go crazy with it, and I hope they keep it separate like they have been doing a pretty good job of, because it's at McCormick Place, which is a very large venue. So they do a pretty good job of keeping the autograph area away from the rest of the stuff, so it's not all cluttered. So I'll give them that. I just don't want to see it go the way of or Wizard World.
Word. Mine is kind of a twofer.
Twofer.
My first of the twofer is Starbucks, because they only have, I think, two within range of the actual convention itself, one upstairs, one downstairs. And A, they're super overpriced even compared to normal Starbucks. Like, if your average venti latte is $5.25 at a Starbucks, it's get ready to spend $7.50 at this one.
Whoa.
Which I think is stupid. Maybe the rent at McCormick Place is out of control. I don't know.
But
the lines are always out of control. And then they close at like 4, which is like, dude, convention closes at 5. What are you doing?
What? And not only that, but it is probably one of the smallest Starbucks. I'm thinking of Wizard World. Never mind. Sorry.
Yeah. Way to interrupt. I was done, though. And my second one is, for some reason, I don't know if it maybe is just me, it felt like last year especially, there was a serious lack of deals going on.
Yeah.
There was maybe like 2 booths that had some good deals on trades, but not like, I hate to say this, but not like Wizard World. Wizard World, I always felt like there was plenty of deals to go around, whereas this time I felt like a lot of the booths had like, oh, 25% off if you buy 3 trades. It's like, yeah, I mean, that's not terrible, but I like it better when it's like 50% off everything in these boxes, and then you find some decent stuff, and then, you know, I don't know. I feel like there was just a lack of deals, or the stuff that they had deals on was stuff I was not interested in. Like, oh, great, Skylanders and the Avengers.
Yeah.
Wicked. So I want to see more deals. I want to see more deals.
Word.
I can't really think of anything that's overrated about it. No, I can't really find anything wrong with it. I like it.
No, it's not easy, because it is.
It kicks it is the superior in the ass, face, and balls 10 times over.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with that at all.
It makes Wizard World look fucking stupid.
Yeah. Well, we can move.
I guess if anything, I would have to second Brian on the deals. I mean.
Yeah.
I think we've gone the last couple times we've all gone together. We've gone on a Sunday and like, hey, Image, if you want to lug all your 500 totes of shit back to California, go right on ahead. But you could have lightened the load if you made shit a little cheap.
Right, and you know that stuff is just going to go from con to con.
But hey,
you
guys that work at Image must have like muscles like Arnold Schwarzenegger, so. But, well, yeah, that's about the only thing I could really...
All I'm interested in this time around is Matt Kent, so if I don't get any Matt Kent action...
You know
I'm
what I'm saying. I'm seconding your opinion.
Well, that, and I'm looking for a few specific items for other people that can't go, so there's that as well. Anyway.
All right.
Matt Kent.
So, Underrated for C2E2. Now, this one actually was pretty easy for me because last year was the first time I really did any of them. Panels. Panels, panels, panels. And the perfect thing about them is C2E2 is multi-leveled. So you go there, it doesn't clutter up the area, you know, the whole main floor, and it's gigantic. There's plenty of room, and then you hop on the escalator, you go upstairs, and there's just panels upon panels upon panels, and they are all free. Last year, we went to the DC Bombshells panel. We went to the Hellboy panel. I went to the Supergirl panel based on the TV show.
Went to the panel panel.
Went to the panel panel. And we did the Batman because Scott Snyder and what's his neck?
Greg Capullo.
They were finishing up their historic run on Batman.
Yeah, they're getting ready to start another one now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
Oh, Batman metal.
I'm not even kidding. I'm not surprised. But it was a cool panel because at the time, you know, these two had worked so closely together on this book that everybody loved for years, and it was coming to a close, and we got to the... It was a fantastic panel. Panel, panel, panel. And it was all free, which is beautiful, because I don't know about... I believe that there are cons that charge for some of the panels. I could be wrong.
I think some of the premium ones.
Hey, I'm not trying to say Supergirl's the biggest show on TV, but that was a gigantic panel with quote-unquote television stars, and that was free. It was fantastic. It was a fun panel too, but whatever. I just, you know, panels.
Yeah, like the One Life to Live panel was, you know, you had to pay for that.
Panels are something
one
that
one day at a time.
Especially if you're going to be there for more than one day, highly recommended that you check out.
You know,
panels.
Honestly, if they did a panel for the new One Day at a Time, I would go to that because
probably would.
That show is great. I don't care what anybody says. All I know is
Schneider. What was that? His name Schneider.
There's a new Schneider, and he sings for a yacht rock band, which rules. Because I love yacht rock.
Okay.
Whatever. Anyway, my underrated is going to be not nearly as exciting as Scott's was. The aisles and the carpeting.
Nice.
Here's why. The aisles are super wide, which rules because I think crowds tend to get a little bit sucky when they get all bunched together and bottlenecked.
Yep.
But also, I am a little on the other side of 40 now, and walking a lot can suck, especially walking after a while. Your feet start to hurt, maybe poor arch support, bad shoes, whatever. But the carpeting is padded, so that kind of alleviates some of the bad foot arch sort of vibes from having to walk up and down and up and down and up and down. Because generally what I do at a con, I walk the con first, see where everything is, see who's got the best deals. And then I start my buying in the second go-around. Usually my first go-around takes a while because, you know, I'll hit Artist Alley on the way back, see who's all there, try to remember who I want to go back and run into, and so on. So, aisles and carpeting. Can't recommend it enough. It's the greatest thing ever for... Because you're going to be walking for hours and hours and hours.
Underrated. Go.
I would say the guests that they have there.
Yeah, they do. They do definitely pack it in.
They get some of the comic industry's heavy hitters.
Oh yeah.
So I would say that that's an underrated aspect, characteristic of C2E2. But yeah, I mean, it's awesome.
I couldn't agree more. And
what else can we say?
This is true.
Which reminds me, Frank Miller is going to be there this weekend.
Shut up, really?
Last weekend, whatever you want to say. We're recording before, but we're putting it out afterwards. Nailed it.
Is he really going to be there?
Yeah, it's supposed to be, yeah. Oh, geez, you know who else is supposed to be there?
You want to talk about a line? That's going to be a line.
You know who else is supposed to be there?
Who?
Ric Flair.
Woo!
No.
Yeah. Supposed to be. TBD.
Wasn't Sergeant Slaughter at one?
He's at all of them, dude. He lives at Comic-Cons. You know who?
He lives at Comic-Con because he works at Starbucks the next weekend.
Right? Ben Templesmith is going to be there.
Nice.
Brian Azzarello. Nice. Obviously, I feel like he's always there. Just going to run down a few more maybe for everybody. Chip Zdarsky. Nice. Yep. Running down. Of course, CM Punk, because, you know, he's from Chicago. And yes, he was a wrestler, but he also writes. I don't know if people know that, but he writes Drax and Thor on Marvel. So that's neat. Dan Parent from Archie Comics, which I might have to go over there and just be like, all right, dude, you need to fast track some of this shit.
He does the main Archie stuff, though, not the... The guy you want to yell at is Roberto Aguirre Sacasa.
Oh, yeah, let me get
Is that
right
the one
on
that does the Afterlife?
He does Afterlife, and he also does your favorite book.
Not Sabrina.
Yep.
Neat.
He's writing for the show, Riverdale, that's why.
Eric Powell will be there. Erica Henderson will be there.
Oh, yeah, Eric Powell, who wrote probably one of the greatest comics
and yes,
of the last 2 years.
Frank Miller will be there on Saturday.
Jeff Lemire.
Yes, he will be there.
Matt Rosenberg.
I'm assuming I'm not that far down the list.
No, he is, because...
James Tinney in the fourth.
He's a Facebook friend of mine.
Jason Aaron. Actually, that'd be kind of neat, because I do read The Mighty Thor, and I do enjoy it. So, yes, that would be cool. Jenny Frison does Revival. I know. I think one of you guys read that.
I did. I read the first 10 issues.
Jeremy Hahn. He did The Beauty, which I really started to enjoy, but I missed an issue and never got back into it. Well, whatever. It's chock full of awesome people.
We just lost like 30 listeners, so.
Yeah, right. So that was over-under for the week. Now we're going to move on to best thing ever, and I'm going to go against everything I've said for the last couple of years, and by the time you guys hear this, I'll have it. But I pre-ordered the new Samsung Galaxy S8 Plus or whatever the hell it is. So, yeah, I said I'd never have another Samsung phone. Well, suck it. I have no choice now.
No, I'm curious as to why.
Well, the phone I wanted to get the OnePlus 3. But that phone...
Why don't they just call it a 4 then?
Well, the name of the company is OnePlus, and it's the third version of the phone. So it was the OnePlus 1, OnePlus 2, OnePlus 3. So I was going to get the OnePlus 3S, but since I got rear-ended and had to spend $500 out of my pocket to get my car fixed, plus I just bought a fancy-ass new mattress, I kind of don't have the cash because stores don't carry the OnePlus 3, so I would have had to pay cash and order it, whereas the new Samsung, yes, it might be more in the long run, but it's going to cost me $24 a month, so whatever.
You know what?
And my phone, it shuts off when it gets to 20% because the battery sucks. You know, it's super slow at this point. It locks up on me all the time lately.
I recently got the Samsung Galaxy S7 Active, and I love this phone. It's fucking amazing. So there you go. And I liked my last phone. I've liked every phone I've had since my first Samsung Galaxy S3. So, all the negativity aside, this phone's pretty great.
Yeah.
My best thing ever is Sepultura.
Neat.
Yeah, I've just been listening to Sepultura a lot, so.
Any specific record?
They're more recent stuff. Kairos. And
yeah, that one's actually pretty good.
That one's really good, and the one that came after it is like a super long... The mediator between the head and the hand is the heart or something weird like that. It's a super long title. It's got one admittedly horrible song on it, but it's got 11 songs, and 10 of them are good. Actually, pretty great. And they have a new album out, which people say is their best since Chaos AD, so not really want to hear it.
God, I haven't listened to Chaos AD in so long.
I don't know,
last week.
I had to do a spreadsheet project the last 2 days, which ate up my entire 2 days. So when I do stuff like that, I just basically strap on the headphones and just work away all day. So the last 2 days have been spreadsheets and Sepultura. And I'm like, man, this band sometimes really is great. And right now they're really great. So Sepultura, get back into them.
Word. I picked up Memoir 44. That's the greatest thing this week right now.
We'll see about that.
Hardy hard hard.
Hey, as far as I'm concerned, anytime you buy new board games, it's a good day. So I'm hoping to do that at C2E2. I'm hoping that's the only reason I wasn't planning on going, but Mike was like, what's the plan for C2E2? And I was like, there is no plan. I'm not going. He's like, come on.
Who's this?
Mike. And I was like, well, okay,
Money bags, Mike.
You make a good argument. I'll go. So I'm just kind of going like what I usually do is I buy a ton of books, a ton of comics, and then I set up a ton of interviews that I never get around to getting to, not in an orderly, timely fashion. So this year I'm like, I'm not bringing my camera. I'm not going to spend the day working. I'm not going to set up interviews. I'm not going to, buy a bunch of crap.
Take creepy photos shit. Of cosplay chicks.
Yeah, I'm not going to, buy a bunch of shit from Artist Alley and try and set up interviews. I'm just going to go as a fan, and I want to look at custom dice. I want to look at board games. I want to look at I'm hoping to not really spend that much money on books. I'm hoping to not spend much money on art because I'm still trying to frame the art I've been purchasing for the last couple of years. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm gonna have a good time. That's the plan. I'm the man. We done? Brian's on his phone. Chris is on his phone.
No, I'm right here.
I know, but you're technically on a phone, right? Or are you on your Xbox?
Xbox.
Oh, damn it. So I was wrong. Anywho, you can find me on Twitter at XorsonX. You can find Brian at Pure Rock Fury. You can find Chris at SkateXEdge. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast or facebook.com/thecomicroast. And you can head to comicroast.com to listen to all of our previous episodes. And don't forget, every Thursday, we've been putting out a lot of board game podcasts. Usually that's our TV show /movie/ board game stuff. But the last 2 or 3 months, it's been strictly all board games. So if you're into gaming at all, don't forget to go check those out. And other than that, enjoy your week.